high point of the service right there, I tell you. That's, takes teamwork. They did a great job. Let's begin this morning by asking God to join us. May we join together in prayer this morning. Oh God, source of all that makes life possible, giver of all that makes life good, we gather to give you our thanks, and yet we confess that we sometimes fail to live out of a spirit of thankfulness. In this hour of worship, accept our thanksgiving and teach us to make gratitude and sharing our way of life. Through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us, number 400 in your hymnals, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
May we join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence she shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may. As we come together this morning, do you have any joys or concerns that you would like to share with the family of Christ this morning?
Yes. As all of you know, Alice did finish her treatments. She is struggling with some of her other issues right now, so I would ask you to continue to pray for her. And now, I know he says he won't put any more on you, but my plate's getting full. My grandson, 17, Charlie, had to go to the emergency room the other night with extremely high blood pressure, high pulse rate. Everything showed clean, clear. They couldn't find anything, but he's still struggling with that. It just out of the clear blue, it jumps up extremely high, and then 20 minutes later, it goes away. So She has an appointment Monday with him at the doctor. So please continue to pray for Alice. Add Charlie to that list, and please don't forget me. My plate is starting to get really full. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I know you'll be lifting this whole family up in prayer this morning. Yes, are there others? Well, remembering those important requests and all that God has on our hearts quietly this morning, let's go to our Lord in prayer at this time. Oh God, we thank you for bringing us to this place, into this new day. We thank you for life and all of its mystery and wonder, for all those who surround our lives and help us along the way, for filling us with a capacity to love others. We give you thanks. Help us to live out of a spirit of gratitude and to reflect that gratitude through acts of grace and mercy. Oh God, I'm so thankful your love has drawn us into the church and into this community of grace in Rockwood, Tennessee. May this part of your body be faithful every day to be a witness to this community, to welcome the least and the lost and the lonely, to welcome the stranger. For we are all truly pilgrims along the way, all of us people with rough edges, who dare to believe through the love and redeeming grace of Jesus Christ that we can be made new and whole. Be with our nation. Guide us as we make important decisions as a people this coming Tuesday. Help us to find a way to come together. Oh God, may your goodness and your generosity guide our hearts and minds in the ways that you would want us to go. And gracious God, be with those who are hurting today, those who are sick, those who seek healing and hope, those who are grieving in this season of their lives. And whether we're looking toward these days with joy and anticipation, or whether it might be a tough season for some in our midst, may we remember your unwavering love and the assurance of your presence, your strength, your goodness. That is great reason for hope. May we live in that hope today as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You and I serve a generous God, a God who loves us unconditionally, a God who is there for us in all the seasons of our lives, and we are blessed in so many ways. So this morning, as we receive our offerings, we receive your offerings and your tithes, know that it's an expression of your love for God and God's love for you. Also, your love for your neighbor, those in your community and in this world you want to reach out to. May the giving of these gifts help to change each of us this morning.
Please remain standing and sing with us number 144, This Is My Father's World.
Thank you.
much. As my wife and I drove in this morning from Knoxville, we were talking about the fall color, and it was pretty good some places, but by far the most beautiful colors we've seen is as we got off here at the exit at Rockwood and Harriman and looked up toward the beginnings of the plateau and that beautiful color. God has blessed you with a beautiful place to live. I know over the years, as I've made some trips to Nashville, I've always thought this is just such a special place because you're right on the edge of going up to a whole different terrain. And then when you come down, coming back from Nashville, and you look down and many times have seen the lights of Rockwood, it's just a unique and beautiful place to be. So we're thankful this morning that we could be here and share this time with you in this beautiful place in God's creation. My wife said to me this morning, the 100th Psalm is, I think, the first psalm that she ever memorized, and it's one I think many of us have perhaps known since we were children, so I hope it is fresh and new to you this morning as we hear these words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Someone has said that gratitude really unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and even more. It can turn a meal into a feast. It can turn a house into a home. It can turn a stranger into a friend. And I've come to appreciate more and more as I've grown older the power of gratitude to positively shape our lives. In learning to live a grateful life, I think we come closest to finding peace in our life, a sense of joy and a sense of purpose, and a greater love for those that we share this life with. And we come to see God who created us and who continues to redeem us in an entirely different way. Karl Barth, the great Christian theologian, said that joy is the simplest form of gratitude. And more often than not, it's been my experience that grateful people, thankful people, have the greatest capacity for joy in their life. At the end of the day, I like how a contemporary writer expresses it. He said this: gratitude makes sense of our past, it brings peace for today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. Now, examining gratitude and its power in our lives, I think, is appropriate on any Sunday, but it particularly seems so as we approach Thanksgiving here in just a couple of weeks. Now, I've learned a lot about Thanksgiving since I got married. When your wife's father grew up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, just a stone's throw from the replica of the Mayflower, and she spent almost every summer visiting her grandparents there, you learn all things Pilgrim. My wife Sue's grandmother lived in Plymouth all of her life until she passed away just 2 months short of her 106th birthday. For many years, she loved to tell people, she loved this story, she loved to tell them that she was there the day the Mayflower sailed into Plymouth Harbor. And friends, it was only a partial fabrication, because in the 1950s, the city of Plymouth, England, gave a replica of the original Mayflower as a gift to the city of Plymouth, Massachusetts. And she was sitting on her lawn with a cup of tea, looking out on Plymouth Harbor as the Mayflower sailed in that day. Now, you may not be from Plymouth, but I hope you've had good Thanksgiving memories, and I really hope the upcoming holiday will find you with people that you love and people you care about. And I hope we can each reflect on what we feel grateful for in this season of our lives. Now, sometimes, if we're honest, that'll come very easily for us, and our positive expressions of thanks will just flow naturally. But in other seasons, if we're honest, it'll be harder. The truth is, you and I will not always feel thankful. So what do we do in those kind of times? We can remember, I think, first this morning, that God has not left us. And we can recall again the final words of this great psalm. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And I think we can also affirm that God plants in each of us a yearning to say thanks, to say thanks to someone else, and to find reasons to express gratitude. You know, the Hebrew word for gratitude literally means recognizing the good. And friends, in a world and in a time where there are so many bad things vying for our attention, the question for us this morning is simply this. In this kind of world, can I choose to recognize the good? That's ultimately what will sustain your soul and my soul. And I've come to realize that gratitude isn't really bound to our happiest days. Those times in our life when the wind seems to be at our back and everything is going right. In fact, I think it frequently shows its greatest character when life is hard. When you and I find ourselves traveling down paths that we would have not chosen ourselves. I've seen the power of gratitude expressed in many beautiful ways in my lifetime. And I've seen so many people serving in quiet and in Christ-like ways to help others. And to just be that visible presence of Jesus' love. Many do it, I think, out of a sense of gratitude to God and gratitude for others. I remember a story that Reverend Adam Hamilton told several years ago. Adam is the pastor of the Church of the Resurrection. It's out in suburban Kansas City. I've been there a few times, and I was out there this past September. It's the largest United Methodist Church in America. And Adam told of a man whose name was John Dallum, a dearly loved member of his church. John had become a member, a mentor, and a friend to Adam Hamilton many years ago, just after Adam started the Church of the Resurrection with four people. And then 20 years ago, John Dallum and his wife Alma lost their son. Not long after that, in the very early stages of his grief, John and Alma traveled with Adam Hamilton as sponsors of the church's first ever mission trip. And from there, John started the Habitat for Humanity ministry at the Church of the Resurrection. Under his leadership, under his direct involvement, the Church of the Resurrection went on to build more than 90 habitat houses before he retired from his work. One day, John Dallum came to Adam Hamilton to tender his resignation. He was 83 years old. He had been diagnosed with a very serious blood disorder that left him very weak. And he said this. He said, "Adam, I'm so sorry to resign from this work. I love it. But though I can't swing a hammer any longer, if there's anything you need, I'm here, and I want you to call on me. As long as I have breath, I want to serve the Lord." And he continued to do just that. He served as a greeter and served in dozens of other ways in the ministry of that church. Every night before John went to bed, he would pray that God would use him somehow the next day. And on this particular night, John Dallum, this 83-year-old man, was awakened at 2:30 in the morning with this message: "Teach the young people of the church construction skills, so that they can take your place in Habitat and in missions." John Dallum, at the age of 84, began to outline a short construction course he would teach the teenagers there to prepare them to work on Habitat houses. And over the next 2 years, this man offered two of those courses, and he trained 36 teenagers in wiring and plumbing and drywall and general construction, so that they would do as he had done, serve God by building houses. And in doing this, John Dallum multiplied himself raising up 36 young people to take his place. One day, not long before he died, John took his friend and his pastor, Adam Hamilton, off to the side, and he said this, and I want you to hear this this morning. He said, "Adam, the last 18 years of my life have been the best years of my life." And I've thought about that as I've gotten a little bit older. What a powerful statement to see your last years as your best years. John Dallam had lost a child. He was very seriously ill himself, and yet he had joy and gratitude in the midst of adversity and a constant desire to serve God and to serve other people. You know, friends, something happens when we shift our vision and we seek to see this world as Jesus sees it. We take hold of the life that truly is life. And usually, almost always, it's accompanied by a deep sense of gratitude. We may have to search or sometimes even struggle to feel grateful at different points in our lives. But friends, I believe the search is really worth it. Because when we choose to seek gratitude, it affects the way we live each day of our lives. It influences all of our relationships. It means we don't take people. It means we don't take our relationship with God for granted. Let me just ask you a question this morning, a simple question. You may already do this or much more, but what would it mean for us before we went to bed at night to write down five things that we were thankful for from the day that we have just lived? And then we thanked God for those things. What if you tried it for just 1 week? They could be little things. Thank you, Lord, for the hot water I showered in this morning. A few years ago, I've been on a number of mission trips, and I went to Nicaragua with a mission team from the church I was serving. You learned if you were going to take a shower to take about a 45-second shower. There was going to be no hot water, but you were thankful. But what if we thank God for that hot shower we had this morning? For how happy I feel when I hear my child or my grandchild laugh. For the joy we get out of watching two beautiful children lighting the candles in the church on Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the courage to apologize to that person that I've needed to apologize to for a long time. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the quiet and the rest and the good sleep that I needed the last few days. And thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunset I looked out and saw as this day ended. Friends, our souls are fed when we recognize the good in this world. And this is reflected in Scripture, where we see the theme of gratitude lifted up on many occasions. Indeed, David and many of the other psalm writers did this frequently. They begin with thanksgiving. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And today's great passage, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness is to all generations. So let me ask you another question. What are you most grateful for in this life? When do you most freely express gratitude? And have there been those moments, have there been those life experiences that you can look to that have changed the way you live your life, the way you look at life, and that have led you to greater thankfulness? You know, I think developing an attitude of thankfulness many times starts with giving thanks for the most obvious things in our life. The people and the other blessings that are so close to us that frankly we sometimes overlook them. I love sports. I've enjoyed baseball most of my life. And throughout my adult life, I've been a very loyal fan of the Atlanta Braves and the Chicago Cubs. But when I was a kid, way back, my team was the New York Mets. If you're old enough, remember that they went from being the worst team in baseball to winning the 1969 World Series, and they were known as the Amazing Mets. There was a young player on the Mets team. His name was Nolan Ryan. He went on to have a pretty decent career. He played 27 years in the major leagues. He was an all-star 8 times. He still holds the major league records for the most career strikeouts, the most no-hitters ever thrown by a major league pitcher. Nolan Ryan married his high school sweetheart, Ruth, who started watching him pitch in high school. In talking about her husband, Ruth Ryan said she had one moment that she looked forward to in every one of his games. And it probably happened the first time she watched him pitch on that high school diamond down in Alvin, Texas, in the mid-1960s. And then it happened repeatedly for 3 decades after that. Inevitably, sometime during a game, Nolan Ryan would pop out of the dugout. He would scan the stands behind home plate looking for Ruth. He would spot her, he would grin at her, and then he would just snap his head up a little bit in a quick nod as if to say, "There you are. I'm thankful for you." And Ruth would wave back and flash him a quick smile. Then he'd dart back down into the dugout. He'd turn his attention back to the game. It was a simple moment, never quoted in any of the newspapers or any of the career summaries. But Ruth Ryan said of all of her husband's great awards he received, of all the moments in all the games, that was the one that was most important to me. Friends, the first opportunity to give thanks in all things and change our attitudes and change our lives is to give thanks for the people and the other blessings so close to us that we sometimes look right past them. And then there's that opportunity to thank God for the very gift of life and the associated gifts that go with it. A few years ago, Bill Gates, the chairman of Microsoft, one of the world's wealthiest people, was speaking in Seattle, Washington, at the annual convention of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. After Bill Gates' speech, a man named Dr. John Kiley, a medical doctor who had a PhD in philosophy, stood up and asked a short question. And as it was reported in the New York Times, Dr. Kiley's question was this: if Bill Gates was blind, would he trade all of his billions of dollars to have his sight restored? The report in the New York Times said there was a long, long pause, and then Bill Gates said yes, and he invited Dr. Kiley to join him in further conversation when that meeting was over. You know, the psalmist, writing in Psalm 139, speaks of our being fearfully and wonderfully made. Friends, for the gifts of sight, of hearing, of mobility, of being able to walk to this church this morning, for the gift of health, let's pause each day and give God thanks. And I'm also grateful for those people God brings into our lives many times very unexpectedly, who see worth in us, who see potential, who are willing to give us a second chance when we've made bad decisions and fallen short. And I've had those people in my life. Those people are a gift from God. They're many times the catalyst, they're the inspiration that sometimes can turn our lives around. In the early 2000s, you may remember that the United Methodist Church did a series of television spots aimed at saying, "Our doors are open and the community is welcome." And one of those spots was entitled "Keys to the Kingdom." It showed 2 middle school-age boys climbing a fence at night. They pick a lock on a door and they slip into a United Methodist church. They sneak through the sanctuary and they go down to the basement where a pool table is located. They turn on the lights and they start playing pool, constantly looking over their shoulders, scared they're gonna get caught. One boy takes a shot, the ball jumps off the table, rolls across the floor, and stops when it hits a black shoe, which just happens to be the foot of the pastor. And there's a close-up of these boys' faces. They're scared, they're anxious, they've been caught. And across the screen appear the simple words, "A true story." Now, those boys are naturally expecting the worst. But the pastor says, and hear this morning, of all the people in this neighborhood, you guys are trying the hardest to get into this church. And then the pastor does something beautiful. He reaches out and opens his hand, and in it is a key to the church. And he says, here, come anytime you want to. There's a close-up on the face of one of those boys. He takes a big breath, he gives a sigh of relief, and he smiles. And the frame freezes on that young boy, and across the screen come these words. He's now a pastor. That young boy, who with a friend broke into church that night, went on to become a very gifted pastor in the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church because of the unexpected grace he received that night. Friends, he became a journey. He began a journey to becoming a thankful person. So as we begin to look toward Thanksgiving Day, I close with a story from the farmlands of Minnesota. A large, extended family had gathered around a very long dinner table, almost creaking under the weight of this turkey-centered feast, Thanksgiving feast. And this is the way a family member tells it. And then the hostess made the mistake of calling on Uncle John to pray. Everybody in the family knew that Uncle John couldn't pray without talking about the cross and crying. And if there's one thing that makes people nervous, it's listening to a grown man cry. Sure enough, Uncle John prayed. He talked about the cross, and he cried. And meanwhile, the rest of us shifted nervously from one foot to the other, and we longed for that prayer to end. And then the narrator inserted this powerful observation. She said, all of us knew that Jesus died on the cross for us. But you see, Uncle John had never gotten over it. Friends, I hope there are some things that we'll never get over. May we join with the psalmist in worshiping our Lord with gladness, in remembering every day that it is God who made us and we are His. And because of all these things, we can enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. Will you pray with me just for a moment? Accept our praise, O God, for the riches of your grace, for the abundance of your gifts, and for the constancy of your caring. May we give thanks with grateful hearts for your love that endures forever. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 369 in your hymnals, Blessed Assurance.
Praising my Savior all the day long.
God is truly with us this morning through these two beautiful children you see going down the aisle this morning. What a blessing they've been as a part of this service. May we give thanks to God as we share in a benediction this morning. Oh God, you've truly given us the gift of this day. May we use it to love, to serve, and to give. And may we live it in gratitude always. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Happy birthday!